The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. News of him spread through all the surrounding territory. He was teaching in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. He came to Nazareth, where he had been raised. According to the custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath. He stood up to read. He was given the book of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. He has sent me with a commission to announce good news to the poor, to proclaim release to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send off the oppressed with liberty, to proclaim an acceptable year of the Lord." He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the minister, and sat down. Everyone in the synagogue gazed at him. He then proceeded to tell them, "Today, this scripture which you have heard is being brought to fulfillment." Everyone witnessed it and was amazed at his graceful words. They were saying, "Isn't he Joseph's son?" He said to them, "You will surely tell me this proverb, 'Physician, heal thyself.' Perform also in your homeland here the many things we have heard that you have done in Capernaum." He continued, "Amen, I tell you, no prophet is acceptable in his own country. I'll tell you truly, in Elijah's time, there were many widows in Israel. This was when heaven was closed for 3.5 years, so that there was a great famine throughout all the land. But Elijah was not sent to any of them. Instead, he was sent to a widow in Sarepta in the region of Sidon. Many lepers lived in Israel in the time of the prophet Elijah. None of them were cleansed, but Naaman the Syrian. When those in the synagogue heard this, they were filled with rage. And they stood up and drove him out of the town. They took him up to the edge of the mountain on which their town was built, intending to throw him off. But instead, he passed right through them, and Jesus went on his way." The Gospel of the Lord. When one goes up to Nazareth these days, one finds pretty much the same town as when Jesus left it some 2,000 years ago. Not that the houses are the same or that donkeys and horses are the main modes of transportation, where there's even a McDonald's on Highway 6 connecting Aku and Tiberias. But it's the attitude, it's the mentality, it's the mindset of the people of Nazareth. They seem to be of that same mold as they were in the days of Jesus. They're a rough crowd, these Nazarenes, and they're tough. And so it's not so strange that we hear this query, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Today in Nazareth, we have Israeli Jews and Israeli Arabs living together in the same city, and they don't get along all that well. You have Greek Catholics and Greek Orthodox. They also don't get along too well. And then in the Greek Catholic community, you have those who support the patriarch and those who support the local archbishop, and they're always clashing. And then, of course, you have the Druze. No one likes the Druze. So here you have also Arab Israelis, and they wonder about whether they should try to be good citizens of Israel or whether they should support the Arabs who live in Palestine. So there's an awful lot of activity and conflict in this area. And one might wonder, why would anyone, let alone God, choose to make this place his hometown? It's providence. It's benevolence. What better or more striking way for God to let us know that he is with us in our midst, in all of our conflicts, in all of our trying to control things and have things our way, in all of the difficulties that we have with each other, and all the challenges we have in trying to learn how to share, not to mention our own inner conflicts. In all of this chaos, in all of this division, he is there. He is with us. Jesus unrolled the scroll. He rolled it back up again. They weren't ready to hear what he had to say, and he knows that. So he'll try a little insight. He'll work with their thoughts. He'll say to them, "No doubt you're thinking, physician, heal thyself. No doubt you would like to tell me. We've heard of all the miracles you perform in Capernaum. Do them here. This is your hometown." Now Jesus really stirs the pot for them. He really gets them going. He tells them that this saying of Isaiah has been fulfilled in their hearing, that he is the anointed one, that he is a prophet, and as you well know, no prophet is accepted in his own land. And if things aren't bad enough, Jesus really gets them going. He reminds them of the prophets Elijah and Elisha, of whose lineage he is. Both these prophets worked miracles outside Israel, outside their hometowns, just like Jesus is doing. And now they're mad. Now they're in a rage. And they're going to take him up to a hill and throw him off. Get rid of this guy, whether he's prophet or anointed or whatever. Get rid of him. He's insulted us very harshly. I said they're a rough lot, these Nazarenes, even today. Because if you're traveling through Nazareth and they point out the hill where the people brought Jesus to throw him off, oftentimes you'll get a response, "Oh yeah, that's the hill, yeah, yeah." As though, of course, they should have thrown him off. I mean, it's just strange, you know, he said those things, you shouldn't say those things, that's an insult. But Jesus slips through the crowd and walks away. When we try to tell God what he should be, how he should be, how he should act, when we try to control providence, God slips through our fingers and walks away and escapes us. We prepare young people to receive the Spirit of God in the sacrament of confirmation. And one of the things we help to do, help them to prepare themselves to experience the divine, is to learn how to not try to control the divine. And so we have classes, we have meetings with teachers, with parents, with sponsors. We have a retreat, and we have them perform works of mercy. And most of all, we share with them, we are preparing, our own experience of the divine. We do this knowingly and unknowingly, in word, in action, and in silence. And so we share this, and as we share it, we grow ourselves. We grow in this experience of the divine. And the more we grow in this experience of the divine, the more we have to share. God is not found in any one particular exercise, but by engaging all of these exercises, we pilgrims, we Nazarenes, have a rich opportunity to come in contact with the divine again and again, and to share it again and again with those whom providence has brought to us. We go to the summit, and there we meet the divine. We come down, we share it with others. René Dumas wrote so well, "You cannot stay on the summit forever. You have to come down again. One climbs and one sees. One descends and one sees no longer, but one has seen." There is an art of conducting oneself by the memory of what one saw higher up. And when one no longer sees, one can at least still know. And so we teach, we share what we have experienced and what we know.